This is the Investor Coaching Show podcast with your host, Paul Winkler, a show that helps you relax about money. Most of the information we get about investing is from people trying to sell financial products. Paul and his team are investment managers and educators who believe an informed investor is a more competent investor. With over 30 years in the financial industry and with 8 financial planning related designations, Paul, along with his team of degree planners, brings a unique perspective to the world of money. You can download his free PDF entitled The Recipe for Relaxing About Money by going to paulwinkler.com/relax. Now, here's the Investor Coaching Show with your host, Paul Winkler.
And a welcome to this Investor Coaching Show. I'm Paul Winkler. And of course, we have not only the show, but the website, paulwinkler.com, where we have video archives, we have audio, the podcast. Sure, you can even sign up for phone call. Any of our offices around town that you hear us talk about something and wonder a little bit more about it. Yeah, that's there. That's one of those things I don't talk about a lot, but it's kind of a cool little feature where you can actually literally get on the schedule of one of the people. And all of the people that I work with, they're all multi-degreed planners. And so on the website, also just keep in mind that there's also all kinds of, we actually take the and transcribe the podcast and also have the videos and segments of the book that I'm coming out with, little by little, coming out with a book. Okay, so one of the things that I want to talk about here is something that I hear, it just depends on when. You know, during the 2008 mess in the market and the economy, you know, there was a huge rush on gold, people buying gold and people, you know, looking at gold as an investment, quote unquote. And one of the things that we find is that when you have some economic uncertainty, then people typically are attracted to it. But, you know, the thing that I've talked about is how gold does as an investment. But I thought, you know, what a great way to really illustrate this and walk you through this. How about take a commercial on this very topic that I saw on the TV the other day and just run the commercial and then just comment on it afterwards. So that's exactly what I'm going to do. Hang on just a second. Let me pull this up for you.
As the original host of Wheel of Fortune, I was blessed to be part of building one of the greatest game shows in history. During that time, we handed out millions of dollars to thousands of contestants. I thought, what if we paid the contestants their winnings in gold instead of cash and prizes? Back in 1976, we had a wonderful contestant named Lee whose three-day winnings were valued at $12,850. And you know what? That was a pretty big haul back in 1976. So I wonder, what would have happened if Lee had put $12,850 in cash and then put $12,850 in gold in a safe, just sitting there side by side from 1976 until now? Well, I went back and ran the numbers, and what I found was amazing. We all know that $12,850 in cash would still be sitting there, but it would be worth a whole lot less than it was in 1976. But that $12,850 in gold, safely stored away, it's worth $135,000 as of the taping of this commercial. Now, that's more than 10 times the original amount. And that's why I've been putting my money in precious metals for years, and I don't see any reason to stop now.
If you've bought gold in the past or would like to learn more about why physical gold should be an important part of your portfolio, pick up the phone and call to receive the complete guide to buying gold, which will provide you important, never seen before facts and information you should know about making gold, silver, and platinum purchases. If you call right now, you can also receive a copy of our new U.S. Gold Report for 2020. Inside, you'll find the top 25 reasons why you need to start owning gold today.
With nearly two decades of business, over $1 billion in transactions, and more than 500,000 clients worldwide, U.S. Money Reserve is one of the most dependable gold distributors in America.
So what an interesting premise. What if we paid our contestants in gold? Now, one of the things that I talk about on this show quite often is, you know, investing. What are investments? Now, investments are vehicles that somebody's paying you to use your money. Now, this is something that if you've heard me say this before, it bears repeating because people forget this somehow. They think that I'm going to invest in gold. And I say, well, you don't invest in gold. You buy gold. It's not, you don't invest in gold any more than you invest in a shirt or invest in a car or invest, you know, they're not investments. They go up and down. Now, cars can go up in value, right? If you have a classic car, it can go up in value. So it's not an unlike comparison. But you don't invest in something that just sits there is the way I look at it. And one of the things that one of my professors actually talked about, he says, there has to be a cost of capital is the way he put it. In other words, there has to be a cost to use your money. And when we're dealing with a CD, you get the cost to use your money is the interest rate that has to be paid. If I lend money to a corporation, the cost to use my money is the interest that they pay if they issue a bond. If I buy the stock in a company, the cost to use my money is the fact that, A, I've given up rights to, the company has given up rights, or whoever owned it before has given up rights to the assets of the company, and they've also given up rights to the earnings of the company going forward. Now, with gold, they said, well, what if we took this money? And he's giving the example of somebody that won a jackpot of $12,850. And saying, what if I pay them in gold? Now, there's a premise. Whenever you're selling something, a good thing to do is to compare it against something that's worse. You know, so if I want to get you to buy something, I'll compare it to something that's worse than what I'm offering you. And then you'll go, wow, I really need to do this because this is better than what I've got or better than this other alternative. So what does he compare it to? Just leaving it in cash. It would be like burying in the backyard, right? So he's saying, if I had this winner of the $12,850 jackpot or prize, today what would that money be worth? Well, $12,850 if it were buried in the backyard and it, you know, then that was all that happened to it. But what if it were put into gold? And wow, how much money would you have? And it's $135,000. Wow, based as at the time of his taping of that particular commercial. Well, I look at that and go, yeah, that sounds really good. And to the uninitiated that doesn't understand that 1976, now you could buy houses for $30,000. Now it's $300,000. You could buy a car, you know, for $3,000. That's what a car costs. So if you look at that and say, well, gee, you know, now a $3,000 car is $30,000, is 10 times as much. This tenfold increase on gold, let's say, because it's a little bit more than tenfold, but it would be 128,000, right? So 12,850 would be 128,000. Then you go, well, 135. Well, that doesn't sound like it really did that great when you think about it that way. Now, does it? Now, let's make it even worse. Let's say if we put money in large U.S. stocks as measured by the S&P 500, that's just the 500 biggest companies, what would that $12,850 be worth? Well, it would be at the end of last year, I'm just using year-end numbers, $1.5 million plus versus $135,000, $1.5 million. What about if I put it in the 20% smallest companies, you know, just the what we call the CRSP 910 Center for Research and Securities Prices, University of Chicago just tracks this stuff. And they have these indices, you know, CRSP and CRSP 9 through 10, and they got CRSP, you know, 6 through 10, which are just small companies in general, and so on and so forth. So the 9 through 10 is 20% smallest, $2.9 million versus $135,000. U.S. large value companies, almost $2 million, just shy of $2 million. How about small value? Yeah, $8.2 million. As this is using a Fama French, that's what Fama French, those are the two academics that did a lot of the research on value stocks, and they have a grouping of stocks that they put together and report on the returns. $8.2 million. And so, you know, large international stocks, well, that was the dog of the whole deal. But the dog of the whole deal did about six times as well, almost, as gold did. And then, you know, international small companies, not even value companies, but just international small. I didn't do value, but that if I had done value, it would have knocked everything else out of the water. But, you know, small growth value international companies, 3.3 million. So you look at that and go, whoa, wait a minute. Now, why didn't they do a commercial saying, well, what if we had done this? Well, because the reality of it is these people that sell this gold and sell, you know, investments like, or did I, yeah, I even called it an investment. Oh my gosh. No, that they sell this stuff to people. They make huge markups on this. And, you know, I often use the example of casinos. You know, it's like casinos just want you in there gambling. They just want you in there gambling. They don't care if you win or lose or whether the gold goes up or down in value. They make a mint on the markup. And, you know, I've often talked about how if you look back at the point in time when we had the gold rush in America, you know, people are their head, go west, young man. And everybody runs out there trying to make their mark and get a bunch of money by finding gold and then getting rich. And I often like to point out it is not the person that went out and prospected for gold that got rich. It was who? The people selling the implements to find the gold. So, you know, whoever's selling the wheelbarrows and the picks and you know, the, I don't know, maybe tents and things like that, you know, whatever you use when you're going out looking for gold and you have to stay in a tent or you go and, you know, get pickaxe or you know, have to get something to dig into the ground or the buckets or whatever you need, the sifters or... You know, those are the people that make all the money, and it's just that they just rely on somebody that is greedy enough to want to go and try to find gold, and then they kind of play off of their desire to get rich. And those are the people that really got rich, is the reality of things. But, you know, gold is just, you know, people say it's a store of value, and I've used the example that you could buy a good men's suit 100 years ago for an ounce of gold, and today you could buy a good men's suit for an ounce of gold. It isn't a really good store of value. And here's the real kicker. If you look at the level of volatility, you say, well, you know, you're comparing the stock market to gold, and the stock market is so much more volatile than gold is. You know, it's not a valid comparison. Now, you ought to compare it to something that's more like it. And I would say, no, actually, gold is. It's just as volatile as the stock market. If you look at the standard deviation or how much the return varies around the mean return or the average return, it is a hugely volatile thing. So you don't even get the benefit of decent returns with no volatility. It's mediocre returns with lots of volatility. And that is why I tell people, I just wouldn't do this. This wouldn't be a good, you know, if you're looking at a stock portfolio, you'll have mining companies in that portfolio. You'll have some exposure to it if you really feel like you need to have exposure to gold. But at least the mining companies are doing something. They're producing something. Now, albeit it's kind of rough when gold is going down in value. It's not so good for them either. But at least they have the ability to cut expenses or do things that will help the profitability of the company. And that's what you're buying when you buy stocks. You're buying the rights to the profits of the company. So just another reason, and this just not just gold. You know, when I look at commodities in general, you know, there was a big push on commodities a few years ago, where you know, all of a sudden people say, you need to have this commodity, that commodity. You ought to be investing in lumber and pork belly futures or, you know, whatever. Commodities in general, it was a big thing back in 2008 because they had a negative correlation to the stock market. In other words, commodities went up when the stock market went down. And all of a sudden, people were falling over themselves, the investment industry, trying to sell commodity funds. And one of the points that I made here was like, hey, just because something did this recently does not mean it's a long-term trend and you ought to be jumping on board. And then, of course, what happened with the commodities funds, they dropped like a rock. I mean, you know, pun intended, because rocks, I guess, would be a commodity. But they didn't do well. I mean, it's just really, really bad returns. But, you know, the investment community, it's hard to admit that you're wrong. And they held on to it, and I continually see this kind of stuff in investment portfolios. And I don't see a strong evidence that it's a good thing to be investing in by any stretch of the imagination. Again, it's an investment vehicle, so to speak. If we're going to call it an investment vehicle, I'll cave and do that for a second, that doesn't have investment qualities, which is cost of capital. So I would stay away from commodities funds. I would avoid that type of thing. I would avoid commodities, whether they be gold, whether it be silver, whether it be diamonds, whether it be, you know, whatever. You know, it's not something that I would engage in. I think it's not a good, prudent way of investing money and not an investment at all. This is the Investor Coaching Show. Hey, this is Paul Winkler. Hope you enjoyed today's edition of the Investor Coaching Show. If you want to learn more about what we do, go to our website, paulwinkler.com. You can watch some of the videos there, and if you're not already a client, you can set up a free initial consultation. Until next time, I'm Paul Winkler, reminding you that I believe that more educated investors are more confident investors, and confident investors are more successful investors. Have a great one.